Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sirkin.
Hello.
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 That
was a nice little...
That was a bit Dutch, wasn't it? Hello.
Yeah, because we've been talking about clogs.
Hello.
Yeah. We've been talking about clogs.
Yeah, but clogs aren't just Dutch.
No, well, you're saying they're northern. I have never seen a northern person in clogs.
Not right? Now, but they were wooden shoes have been a big thing forever, not just up north, but down south too.
Yeah, well, anyway, I do love Holland, talking about Dutch, if you've said I'm Dutch. I do love Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about the hash cafes, whatever they're called.
Right.
I find them a bit awful because I went with my new husband. He partook and I didn't. And then we went for dinner and he was so boring because he was just laughing the whole time. just laughing. So I found him really boring. And in the end, I just had to order lots of cava and prosecco just to keep up with
him. Yeah, yeah, right.
Just to find him amusing.
Yeah.
And the bikes in Holland. I mean... They know where they're going, don't they? But, well, I mean, would you get on a bike there? It's bonkers, isn't it?
Yeah. It's quite fun. I worked in The Hague many years ago.
Yeah.
And then I did a short stint in Amsterdam. And when they dredge the canals, the amount of bikes they pull out of the canals is nobody's business.
Yeah, well, I can imagine.
Mm. Right. Yeah. What have you got?
Well, I was just trying to set up a tweet because I'd like to film Ian, but I'll do that in a minute. So around 40 members of Rye Arts Festival, got lots of arty things on today, have you noticed? Braved the cold and rain last Sunday afternoon to attend the annual general meeting at the Rye Community Centre.
Mm-hmm.
And they were met with the heartening news that against all the odds, the festival was able to make a surplus in 2022. Despite the last-minute cancellation on September the 8th of several events due to the Queen dying, bless her, on the eve of the festival, the train strikes preventing a number of artists from all around the UK making the trip to Rye, with a combination of careful cost control, the huge generosity of sponsors and some artists waiving their fee despite the cancellations, there was a surplus of just over £4,000. Following losses incurred during the pandemic, this will help to put the charity's finances back on a firm and sustainable footing.
Cool.
So that's good.
Mm. Yeah. Do you know what?
Well, you're going to say you're going to talk to your guest.
I'm going to talk to someone sensible.
Yeah.
Which is going to ruin this show, isn't it, having someone sensible to talk to. But there you go. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Ian Wood. Ian is from Ian Wood Property. Ian, good afternoon. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me today.
It's an absolute pleasure. I'm so sorry about what you've had to put up with so far.
Right.
We can only apologise.
He's had biscuits. He's had lovely coffee.
Yeah, I've been well looked after, and now good. I've got to be sensible, apparently. That's what you introduced me, so I'll behave, I promise.
Darren, just remind me of Ian's new Twitter handle, please.
At Ian Wood Property.
There you are. Does what it
nice
says on the tin.
Yeah.
And we've dragged another one into the great world of Twitter and nonsense, which is cool. Ian, thank you for joining us, as I say. You've worked in the property estate agency business for quite a long time. Why don't you tell us a bit about your background, and then we tell us, you know, how you started and what you started as and why you started and all that kind of stuff, and then we'll move on from there.
Yeah, no problem at all. So, like most estate agents, to be fair, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I didn't grow up aspiring to be an estate agent. I didn't dream of it. Wasn't my career path. I was expected to be a footballer, but obviously was nowhere good enough. Got to the end of sixth form, didn't want to go to university, and I thought, well, I've got to do something. A few of my friends had worked in that sort of industry for a while, and they sort of recommended it and said they enjoyed it. They were very similar to me as well in personality, so I thought, well, you know, it could certainly be interesting. We had a bit of property as a family, but my experience of it was next to nothing. I knew nothing about property at all.
Right.
And I didn't ever portray I did. So printed off loads of CVs, went round to all the local estate agents, handed in...
I like it. Yeah. So you said proactive, you see. Yeah.
He's a Gemini, Paul.
Yeah.
He's a Gemini.
So went round, handed out loads of CVs, got next to no response whatsoever. And I thought, well... got to think of a plan B now. I was out shopping in Bluewater with the last bit of money I'd saved up from working my part-time job, and I got a call from from
what was your part-time job?
I worked in Sainsbury's.
Okay.
So,
shelves?
Anything. Yeah. Shelves, trolleys, you name it. I just wanted to earn. I was doing as many different things as I could to try and just improve myself, basically. Because school was an interesting one. It was never the most academic. So, I never enjoyed it. So it was one of those. I needed to find something that I wanted to do. Got the call whilst tootling around Bluewater. Said, can you come for an interview? A local firm called Proctors, they were George Proctors at the time, went down, had a sit down with them. They were very honest and said, look, they weren't ideally looking for a trainee, they wanted someone with a bit of experience, but they did really like me, so invited me back for a second interview. Got the job, turned up, and say, it was all brand new to me.
How old were you?
I was 18, only just. I had my driving license, and
I can just feel the excitement when you got offered that job.
Yeah, you know what? It was great. It was certainly one I enjoyed my time. I was there for about 2.5 years, and the guys down there, Trevor and Jason, were fantastic. They really instilled to me kind of the customer service side of the job, which I think is kind of what led on, and it's something I've tried to hold throughout my whole career. It's something that you don't necessarily think of when you're 18, 19, but now I look back at it, I realise that a lot of what I do now probably came from a lot of their earlier teachings. But
so their ethos was, how would you say you were looking after customers?
By actually talking to them, communicating with them clearly, just being honest. Something I think estate agents don't.
They're not normally renowned for that, are they? Yeah. And it's like the recruitment business, which I'm tangentially involved in. You know, we get an even worse reputation than estate agents. It's not always deserved with estate agents. You know, I mean, and most of it comes from the fact that you're trying to sell a property for someone by giving it its very best aspects.
Those wide angle shots.
We love them. It's always the ones that miss out the gasworks behind the house, isn't it? Yeah, those kind of things.
Hiding the damp patches and that. Yeah. All the tricks of the trade,
as I said to you when we were off air, my house is on the market at the moment, and the agents that are selling my house, they sent a professional photographer to come round, and he took loads of pictures, and then it took ages to get it up. And I what are you doing? He said, well, I'm photoshopping them at the moment. And I went, why? To remove the dirty socks that were in the background and all that kind of stuff. So you were working for where were the company based?
They're in Petswood, right. Sort of part of Orpington. Good local market, but it is very much a localised market. I got to a point where I'd learnt the basics, but I wanted to then push it on, and I was still young enough to want to go and do it in the, you know, a bit more central, going to London. Obviously, there's a bit more monetary value of doing that as well.
A little bit.
I think everyone young should go to London.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it. I mean, I went and did a bit of new homes for a big company, KFH, there. So I was there for about just shy of a year. It just never really sat well with me. I didn't really enjoy my time there. It was a kind of corporate environment, which isn't bad, but again, it came down to numbers. You know, it was all a numbers game and things like that. Went to another firm, and again, very salesy. All your sort of stereotypes of estate agents were found in that office.
Shiny suits.
Very shiny suits, lots of hair gel, you name it, lots of sales figures, lots of shouting. It's like being on The Apprentice.
Smart car.
Yeah, all of that good stuff. So,
when you were doing that, Ian, were you working in a particular area of London?
With the new homes, that was regional, so that was all of South East London. So I would find myself anywhere from Croydon through to Bromley, through to Hibber Green, you name it. It was all across South East London, which was... It was good fun, but there's a lot of travel, and it can be challenging. It throws its own challenges. And then I moved on to, I was in, this was the one previous to that, was in Canada Water. So we used to cover Canada Water, Surrey Quays, and then into Canary Wharf as well. So that's a completely different
place. Because that's amazing, isn't it, that whole area near the city, and beautiful flats there.
Yeah, I mean, they're stunning. They come with a big price tag.
What do they start off price-wise?
So I didn't work, I haven't worked there for about 8 years now, but I mean, we were easily, one beds were at the time, $350 if you were buying to get onto it, and they weren't particularly impressive. And again, rental market, you're looking at $13, $13.50. I'm told now, not that I work in that area, but they're a substantial bit more now. But
yeah.
You know, it was very, very fast paced. I mean, Canary Wharf at the time, we're talking pre-COVID, pre-Brexit even, with that particular job. So the banks were thriving. The Canary Wharf market was immense. It was, you know, you'd walk into about 50 inquiries a day.
So it must have been a real buzz there.
It was really buzzy, which I loved. It was just a shame that, you know, the company itself didn't really carry the same ethos that I kind of wanted to deliver. It was, again, a lot numbers driven. I always think you've got to remember at the bottom of every transaction, and I hate that word because, you know, it's very a business style transaction, but there are two people, you know. There's a husband and wife, there's kids involved, there might be an old lady, there might be a distressed family. And I think as an industry, we're very, very guilty of talking about instructions and targets and all these different things, and we almost treat them as numbers rather than an actual individual. Look, I know enough people who have moved over the years who will tell you how stressful that time is. I'm sure lots of listeners, right?
Yeah. But just having viewings, you have to clean everything and tidy everything and make it look shipshape.
Yeah. And the amount of time you get a phone call saying, can we come around in half an hour? We've got someone just walked into the office.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that we don't think of as an industry that I think if you're not in the industry, you don't necessarily see or think of. But you've got to remember there are people's lives at the end of that phone call.
The emotion, you know, when people are looking in your wardrobes.
You're absolutely right. It's a personal service business, isn't it? Or it should be. And like so many, you know, we were moaning earlier about big corporates and all the rest of it. And that's the problem with big companies and chains and all the rest of it. They've lost sight of the personal touch with anything. It's all about driving the numbers, ticking the boxes, doing this and that. Whereas the reality is it's about personal service. You know, I'm selling my house with the wrong estate agent, according to everybody else. According to everybody else, you know, the agent I'm with isn't the right one to do my house. And I'm just going, I like them. They were nice to me. they were honest with me. Why can't they sell my house? Well, they don't have the market. And I'm not going to say this anymore. Once upon a time, that may have been true. Same with recruitment. That, you know, different agents handled different elements of the market and tended to have a customer database that was consistent with that. But everybody just advertises on Rightmove now. It doesn't matter who you are in terms of putting the advert out. They all go in the same place. What it comes down to is the personal service that you're going to get, as far as I'm concerned. And the agents that are selling my house at the moment are fine by me right now. But I have literally, since my house went on the market, every agent for 5 miles has written to me saying we could sell your house better.
They all have a buyer, I'm assuming, all of them.
They've all got a buyer. They've all got a buyer.
Mr. and Mrs. H looking to buy with a budget of...
It's a great tool, but I tend to agree with a lot of what you said. I mean, there are things, and we'll move on to that a bit later, about how you can do things a bit differently, and I think that's what we're trying to do. And that's kind of why I have now walked away and set my own thing in partnership with Nested.
So from your London experience and Canary Wharf and all the rest of it, what happened from there?
I then went to an agency in Blackheath. In
I love Blackheath.
Yeah, we went to the Westcombe Park half of Blackheath. So it's a little bit quieter. It's not as well known. But I was there for 5 years and I really enjoyed it. I can't complain. I ended up progressing my career very well, going into a management position, which was completely new to me, and I'm sure I made many mistakes over that time. But the company were good; they supported me well.
You've got a great housing stock around there, haven't you? The lovely Victorians,
lots of gated communities.
Lots of big prices.
The only thing about the Heath is that the traffic just goes all the way around. It's such a shame, isn't it?
Humans were a nightmare. Sitting in traffic, you know, you had to leave a good 45 minutes before you wanted to get to an appointment in some cases. But it was good. I enjoyed it. I just got to a point really where I felt like I'd achieved a lot that I could achieve there, and I didn't see an awful lot more for me to do. And the question was to me, do I stay here and sit into a corporate world and progress my career and go to senior management and middle management and whatnot, or do I go off and do my own thing? And I looked at it and I thought, well, look, I'm young enough, I don't have the responsibilities of a massive mortgage and kids to look after, so it just felt like the right time for me. And I think there was a bubbling frustration for me for a long time of how things were going within the sector in general, and I actually looked at different routes on how to start my own business, and I just thought if I didn't go off and do it, I would kick myself 10, 20 years down the line. So the way I viewed it is I had some good ideas and I wanted to put them in. I'd ran a branch for a good couple of years by that point, and I thought, well, I can either use this money to buy a property or set up a business. So I chose the business option, and I initially went to the sort of self-employed models of Keller Williams. I was there for just over a year, and sort of had a mutual kind of conversation with Nested, who I'm now with, and it just suited me slightly better because their ethos was a bit more in line. Well, I think a lot more in line. It's a lot about the customer. We've also got really good technology and stuff to support the client, which I think is important now. You know, the world has changed.
So tell us a bit about Nested. Is it a franchise?
In essence, yeah. So it's very similar to the sort of American way that the real estate industry has run out over in the States, where you have your brokerages and then you have your partners with inside the brokerage. So in essence, what it allows me to do is set up my own company under their banner. So it would be a franchise in what we would see as a normal franchise, but it's got a very kind of different twist to it, which we're starting to see more of the UK market doing in particular. But
so what is the different twist?
So it's more, so your standard franchise would be you would obviously buy that area, you would set up, start your business, whether that's a shop or whatever it might be, and go from there. Whereas what we do is we don't have shops, so largely because, again, you spend a lot of money on rent, right? And I actually do that as an acquisition side as well, which I'll talk about later. But you know, you're talking in my high street, it's going to cost you 20, 30 grand a year in rent, and then you've got your business rates, which is again probably roughly half of that.
Yep.
You've got all your bills, your electricity, which again is a hot talking point. And I looked at that, and the model did, and we thought, well, if we could use that money better place in terms of actually marketing the property, that being social media, that being publications, media, social media, all of that stuff, we can actually put a better package together for the client, which at the end of the day, you know, you hit the nail on the head earlier, when you're selling your property and you're looking, and vice versa, and a lot of the listeners, they'll turn to, you know, Rightmove, they'll turn to Zoopla. You might get a few nosy locals who sort of look in the shop window, but most of them were just coming in for a new shop, if I'm honest with you. They weren't coming in for, you know, a chat about property.
It makes absolute sense, doesn't it? I mean, back in the day, the reason that you had a shop somewhere is because it was one of the few places that people could look at a property. I'm trying to think of the way how to express this, but basically, if you went shopping down the high street and you stopped and you looked in the shop window, there was a chance that you might see a house and you go, "Oh, I hadn't thought of moving, but I like that." Yeah. Or if you are definitely moving, you would drive to the place you wanted to move to and go and visit all the estate agents to see what was on the market. You don't have to do any of that now. You know, it's the same with recruitment business. Recruitment businesses all used to have high street shops where they had little cards in the window of all the jobs they had. But both the property market and the recruitment market now have online portals where you can find anywhere in the world on those portals. You don't need to go down a high street to look at it. So the overhead of having a shop is ridiculous, really.
Yeah, especially when you can better place that into, you know, making sure that you are getting really good quality marketing. Because I think as an industry, we need to do more. We're very lazy still in terms of taking the pictures, putting them on Rightmove, and then waiting for the leads to come to us.
Yeah.
I think you can be a lot more proactive.
Sure.
And spending money on things like videos, for example, that have become more and more popular to get more eyeballs on the property.
And even drone footage for the right property.
And let's not kid ourselves, you know, that does cost quite a bit of money to do all of that. But if we can better place that money from a shop into putting together a proper marketing package rather than just, you know, and people saw through it, especially when Purple Bricks came around, and they were saying, well, I can pay Purple Bricks with 1,900 or 1,500 and they'll put it on Rightmove and they'll do that. What are you doing differently? And to be honest, I think a lot of agents didn't like that. And I think the real reason a lot of them didn't like it, if I'm honest, is I think they didn't really have an argument to why. And we've been doing a race to the bottom on fees for a long time in estate agency. And I think that's because as agents, we haven't made – you haven't given enough of a reason for people to actually think, I can get something better or I can get a better service. So all of that is now starting to change. And I think you'll see that in the market. I think it's good to have your online models as well, as your sort of hybrid that we would call ourselves and your high street, because it gives the customer a good choice.
Sure.
You know, they can look at what's important to them. They can work out where they feel best place to go, and then make a sensible choice, and they'll have three different options. And I think that's only good for any industry to have competition. It makes us all improve our game.
Absolutely. So you've launched your business in this kind of hybrid franchise model, which is cool. When did you do that, Ian?
That was about a year and a half ago now. So initially it was with Keller Williams, but I transitioned to Nested. And that's been about 6-7 months now.
Okay, cool. So now let's focus on what you actually do. Obviously, you sell domestic properties. Mm-hmm. You also do a bit of commercial work, and maybe we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yep.
So do you have an area that you tend to work with your domestic business?
Yeah, so the area I'm with Nested is Orpington and Petswood and Locks Bottom. For people who are a bit more local to that, they'll know those areas a bit more precisely.
Green Street Green?
Yes, Green Street Green. Yeah, I've got one there at the minute.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I used to have a business in Green Street Green, that's how I know it.
It's a nice little community.
So. What was the restaurant there, Chapter 21?
You've got a few different ones down. I think the one you're thinking of is actually in Locks Bottom. It's moved up to Locks Bottom. Again, it's a bit of an area a lot of people don't really know until they kind of come across it when they want to move out of London and still want a good commutability into London. So you get to London Bridge in 16 minutes from Orpington on the fast train. So it's one of those areas. So that would be my core area.
Right.
I do take on properties outside of that if I think I can add value. But it's certainly not uncommon that I think they're a better place going with a more local agent. And I would say to them, you know, I think you would be better. I would turn away the business to make sure that they get a better service, to be honest with you.
Sure, yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? That area of Kent.
Yes, we've got is Kent. But we are Kent.
But they're all London boroughs.
Yes.
Which is, you put me right on this, but this is just me gobbing off about it. Because they're London boroughs, the prices of properties there tend to reflect that as London boroughs.
Yep, they do.
Certainly do. When in fact the people that live there still believe they live in Kent to a large extent. You get this many. I said to you earlier when we were talking about football earlier. I was born and grew up in Hammersmith, in Fulham, and back in the day I lived on the Clem Attlee estate in Fulham, and I remember. Fast forward in many years, and I was going to rent a flat back in Fulham, and people said to me, "Oh, blimey, you're going to need security corps to take you home. It's a really rough place over there." Well, of course, nowadays Fulham, you're talking £3 million to buy a dog kennel. What you get is this creep, this property creep, where places that many years ago were considered fairly naff suddenly go up in market because the market's pushing out. And the way I see it is that's pushed right, the London market has pushed right out, you know, Cricklewood, one side of London, Enfield, and then out to Orpington, Bexley, Bromley, and all those kind of areas. Is that kind of right?
100%, yeah. It was similar when I was working in Blackheath. We were, especially with COVID, that accelerated it because people were working from home now. They weren't necessarily needing to be in the centre, so they were moving to, you know, from zones 1 and 2 to zones 3 and 4, and then 3 and 4 into 5 and 6, which is where Orpington sits in zone 6. So, yeah, and again, we've seen a lot of people from Orpington move into, like, Maidstone and the Medway down to Westport.
Just to say, if you move to Maidstone, there's no rocks and pebbles, despite what Jules thinks. Yeah.
Yeah, they've all ended up in Whitstable, annoying the locals.
Going to Costa Coffee.
That's naturally happened. But yeah, you're 100% right. It's it's a London market now, places like Orpington and all those surrounding areas.
It's a fascinating market, the property market. Because it's one of those things that a lot of people invest in as an asset class as well. I'm going to ask you a question. If you don't want to answer it, I don't mind, yeah, because it's a little bit political, I guess. But one of the things that frustrates me as a dad of kids growing up, although my eldest son is living in France now, but especially in the south of England and the southeast of England, the housing market is pretty dire for young people trying to get onto the housing ladder. Do you have any views on that? Do you see that as an issue?
Yeah, 100%. I think we'd be kidding ourselves if, you know, it is frustrating working in the industry sometimes because you see all these amazing places, and I'm only 28 myself. And a lot of my friends are having the same struggles. You know, you look at what you can actually get for your money, and it's not great, if I'm honest with you.
Do you own a house?
I don't, no. This is the thing. I work in the industry.
I know someone that can sell you one.
So, no, look, it is certainly tough. There have been schemes that have...
The help to buy and...
Yeah, I mean... And shared ownership and all that nonsense, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan. I don't know if I'm meant to say that, but
there's a problem with this. Many years ago, I had a house in Cornwall in a place that became... I lived in Rock. When I bought a house there, nobody had ever heard of Rock. It then became Knightsbridge on Sea, and everybody piled in there. And North Cornwall District Council came up with a really clever scheme next to my house, where they built 30 homes, starter homes, that were only for sale to local people. And after 5 years, they hadn't sold any. And the reason was, no mortgage company would give you a mortgage. Because if you defaulted, they couldn't just shift the property on, because the caveats in the ownership of the house prevented them from doing that, so they weren't going to give you a mortgage on it in case you defaulted.
Yeah, it's tricky. And this is the other issue, is government or councils decide to try and do schemes, but without the banks on your side and things like that as well. And if it's not all communicated well, there's no time for the banks to adjust. We had the same with... Every time they do a stamp duty cut or whatever, you know, they'll get announced. But we didn't get any, you know, forewarning on it. And all of a sudden the phones are ringing saying, well, what does this mean for us? And, you know, we knew nothing more than they did at the time. So it's the same with retirement homes as well. You know, the retirement communities, it's the value is always hard because you're selling to a limited market. And they can sit on the market for a long period of time without selling. And that is just... Purely, it can take 6 months.
I totally agree, and it's one of the things I find frustrating. I'm obviously looking to buy a new house at the moment, and you go and see houses, and then it's got you know, over 50 zone. I'm well over 50.
Are
but
you?
I'm well over 50, but that's not the point. You know, over 50 zone or over 60 zone, and you think, but the trouble with that is you can't just shift it on. If you wanted to sell it, you know, it's a limited market that you're selling into. I don't understand. You know, people just trying to be smart about making the price look lower.
Personally, I only like something that I can do up, and I'm finding it harder and harder now to find little flats or Victorian houses that I can do up, because I just bought a modern house about 13 years ago, and I found it much, much harder to actually make it nice than I would a Victorian with all the original features.
I've got an Edwardian country house for sale.
I know.
It really does need doing up.
But my new husband likes...
A sale agreed live on air.
Yeah.
Lovely. And
I'll do you a deal on it.
And I know where you keep your rack cloths as well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. interestingly, I'm looking for a new build as best I can. But
new builds can be badly built, can't they?
Or they could be well built. I mean, many, many years ago, I lived in a village that was blighted. This shows you how long ago it was when they were building the high-speed rail link. Even though my house that I lived in was nowhere near the high-speed link, because it had the same village name, people would never come and look at it. So I did a builder's swap on a new build, and I loved that house. I loved the new build house. It was a Barclay Homes house. It was wonderful. And I sold that house in 1996. For £250,000, and funnily enough, it came back on the market just recently, and it's 1.1 million now, and they still got my curtains up.
Wow, there we are. Yeah, you had good curtain choice even back then.
So you're dealing in the Alberton market, in the domestic market. What's the market like at the moment? How's it moving?
It's slowed down over the last 6 months, I would say.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on again, and we all know the housing market reacts very quickly to any issues. You know, you had the whole sort of debacle, we'll call it, with Liz Truss and her government coming in. That unsettled it for sure. We've also seen really high interest rates again, which has been problematic, and people are cautious, I would say, about where the market is going to go. So those three factors have made it more challenging.
Sure.
But there's still a lot of transactions happening. The press have it very much as it's all doom and gloom, but there are certain things happening still. I mean, numbers of sales are actually above where they were expecting them to be. So there is an air of confidence, and it's one of those markets where people move. There's a lot of families who need the schools.
Catchment areas.
Yeah, and people are still, you know, passing on and divorcing, etc. So again, you've got lots of families, and the demand is always going to be there. It's, you know, admittedly slower than what we'd all like.
Well, there seems to be a shortage of properties. Looking in Greenwich and Deptford and round there, two-bedroom flats, Victorian period, seems to be there don't seem to be any.
Yeah, a lot of people are holding on, though, again. That's the other issue.
Yeah, yeah. Why are they holding on? They're waiting for...
Well, they're waiting to see what the market does. That's one thing as well. When mortgage rates are so high as well, you know, upsizing isn't necessarily at the front of people's mind. They might just be sort of assessing the market to see where mortgage rates go. And I know, obviously, it was announced the other day that interest rates they expect by the end of the year to... within the year to come down to the, you know, low twos, early threes.
Do you think they will?
Who knows? Good guess.
They
right?
say these things, they, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, it went up literally what 3 days after, didn't it? The budget, and then it went up three days later.
Yeah. So I'm still. I've just had my fourth mortgage increase from my bank, and I'm still waiting for my savings increase to go up as well. And I don't seem to have managed that so far.
Yeah, isn't it? It's strange. Yeah.
We locked in, I think, for 5 years, and my son has got his agreement also locked in. Just, you know, at the right stage.
Yes. Mind you, do you remember that, I don't know if you saw it, a woman on Question Time some months ago who claimed she'd locked her mortgage in at 10%. And we all went, there's a word for that, and it begins with an I.
She's locked it in at 10%.
Yeah, for 5 years. You idiot.
That's
yeah,
on the tracker, right?
Yeah.
So I think, look, we'll see how the market goes for the next 6 months.
And you must have seen people that were able to work from home moving out of London to bigger gardens, or definitely having an office in their garden, or a bit of space for an office. You must have seen too.
Yeah, hugely. We've seen a lot of people moving from zones 2 and 3, as I mentioned earlier, into 5 and 6.
And has that calmed down now? Is that still happening?
It has calmed down a bit, because I think that there's an element of people sort of react very irrationally sometimes at the time and think, right, we're never going to go back to the office ever again. But there are employers now saying, actually, you know, come back. And I think a lot of people do enjoy office environments still. I think there's a lot.
They like the flexi work, don't they?
They do. But I think there's a lot to be said about going into the office still, and people are starting to creep back into the office. So.
Yeah, they are. And basically, you don't have to pay the electricity and gas bill when you're in the office.
That's true.
I've noticed a lot of people, though. I go to Barnes quite a lot, and there's a lot of people in a cafe that used to be empty. And now they're all in there with their laptops with one coffee, which must drive small cafe.
The owners must hate it. But, they must love certain elements. But I work out of cafes quite a bit. And,
you need to buy more than one coffee.
Yeah. I feel a bit guilty unless I buy at least two or three.
Just don't take your own sandwiches, because that gets
that gets you chucked out. So, there's certainly been a lot of change. But I think it will start. It already is settling down. I think it will continue to get more and more people thinking, actually, let's buy in those areas again.
I think Deptford really excited me when I looked round there, because it's got a